This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ben Lively will get the opening day start for our Cleveland Guardians in Kansas City against the Kansas City Royals. Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. Jeff Phelps here. Andy Baskin over there. Ben Broussard just with us. He's going to be doing some TV for the MLB production coming up. Optimistic, Andy. He likes the look of the team.
Yeah, I mean, how can you not be optimistic on the first day of the season, right?
Dragging you to the line of optimism all dang day.
I think it's been the other way around. Like, I had to get you excited for this. Like, you kind of just walked in here this morning like, I did have a conversation with some folks. So, like, I think it's difficult when you're sitting here, you know the team's not going to be here for another, week and a half, almost 2 weeks before they have the home opener. I wonder if the ballpark's done. Has anyone checked in on the ballpark yet? See if it's finished.
It's still there.
See if it's going to be ready for opening day. But I think sometimes it's hard. And then finally, you got all the TV deals done early this morning. If you need more information on that, check out 92.3 The Fan to find out where you can watch the game, .com, I should say. And so make sure you go check that out if you're still trying to figure out where to watch the game a little bit later this afternoon. I do think sometimes it's hard to – that you're like, oh, baseball season's here. It kind of like – you kind of ran into it rather than run to it. Because they're on the road, and I'll be excited after I watch the game this afternoon. I'm excited now. I mean, look, they overachieved last year. I want to see if they can do that again this year, and I think it's a lot more fun to overachieve than it is to underachieve. So, you know, we know where.
Do you think?
Well, I'm just looking at the bar. look at the Cavs and look at the Guardians. Right?
We stink. Oh no, we suck again.
Oh no, we are good. Okay, I like it. I mean. What are you supposed to do here? Like, they didn't make major moves. They didn't spend.
That's why I described their offseason as uninspiring yesterday.
Yeah, and that's fair.
Doesn't mean they can't be good. Doesn't mean that at all.
I don't know. I mean, if you're pumped for opening day, let me know. If you're meh on opening day, let me know. Because I think, I hate to say it, but I think more fans are more.
Don't say it.
Let's wait and see. I want to look. I'm looking. I see you, but I may not be running to you. How's that sound? That's kind of where I feel like fans are with this team right now because it's just where we are.
All right, so we've been going over some opening day lineups.
Okay.
Just to get everybody in the mood because the opening day lineup's always a fun big deal. We're pumped about that. Again, Tanner Bibee not in it. Food poisoning. He's out. Ben Lively will get the start against the Royals. So we've been going back to key years in franchise history. Just to remind everybody, give some names, make you think, oh, yeah, remember that guy. The last opening day in the year of Cleveland Stadium. You ready for that one?
Yeah, what is it, 93? Right.
It was 1993.
Yep.
You are correct in that.
Hey, I've been pretty good on these so far, haven't I?
You have been. The game was at Cleveland Stadium. They lost to the New York Yankees 9-1, 1993, last year at the stadium. The starting lineup for our Cleveland Indians that day had Kenny Lofton in center field. Felix Fermin hitting second, playing shortstop. Thomas Howard later pinch hit for him. Carlos Baerga was at second base. In left field, a young man by the name of Albert Bell. Paul Sorrento.
Was he still Joey or was he Albert at that?
Albert Bell. Paul Sorrento hit fifth and played first base. Hard-hitting Reggie Jefferson was the DH, hitting sixth. Carlos Martinez at third base hit seventh. Glenn Allen Hill played right field and hit eighth. Sandy Alomar was your starting catcher that day, and he hit ninth. On the mound, Charles Nagy getting the start, followed in relief by Kevin Wickander, the Calahuga kid, Dennis Cook, Eric Plunk, and Derek Lilliquist. And Charlie got roughed up. He gave up 7 earned, 11 hits, and 5 2/3. They lost 9-1. Last home opener, opening day, actually was the opening day, at Cleveland Stadium. So there's that.
I don't look who else was on that roster, though, that year, right?
So it was the beginnings.
Yeah, Nagy.
It was the beginning.
Tomey
was on and off the roster. He was up and down like crazy.
Or Thome, as our general manager at the time thought his name was?
Thome.
Thome, that's what it was. Thome, yeah.
Yeah, Jim Thome.
We'll get it fixed.
He did. He did get it fixed.
Candy Maldonado.
Well, while you're doing that, let's advance to go 1 year. The next year, they open up the brand new ballpark.
Okay.
Opening day in the brand new ballpark.
Wow, look at us. We're
trivia.
Flying.
Don't look at it, Andy.
All right. I definitely won't look at it.
Who started at third base in the first game ever?
Was it Jim?
At Jacobs Field.
Was it Tomey?
Hitting leadoff was Kenny Lofton. Omar Vizquel had been acquired. He was hitting second, playing shortstop. So Omar was never an Indian in the old place.
Right.
Carlos was at second. Albert was the cleanup hitter.
Okay.
Eddie Murray played first base in that first game. Candy Maldonado hit fifth and was the DH. Paul Sorrento then pinch hit for him. The catcher that day, Sandy Alomar.
Sure.
He hit seventh. Hitting eighth, this young kid named Manny Ramirez.
Oh.
Playing right field. Manny Ramirez.
Hitting eighth.
And at third base, in the first game ever, at Jacobs Field, the pride of Hamilton, Ohio, Mark Lewis.
Oh, Mark Lewis.
Later on, a gentleman named Jim Thome did pinch hit for Mark Lewis. But they were going up against Randy Johnson. And they didn't want Jim, the lefty, to face Randy Johnson. So he didn't. Dennis Martinez was the starting pitcher. I had to think, really? Who relieved Dennis Martinez in the first game ever at Jacobs Field? Russ Swan. Followed by Jose Mesa, who wasn't the closer yet. Derek Lilliquist. I guess he was. He was that year. Derek Lilliquist and Eric Plunk. And, of course, Wayne Kirby did the heroics, and 4-3. Indians won the first game ever at Jacobs Field.
Who else was on that roster that's still extremely active in Major League Baseball that we don't really ever... So remember how I was talking about how there's such this huge influence?
Yes.
Across Major League Baseball? One of the guys on that roster was Jerry DePoto.
Jerry DePoto.
Who is now in Seattle.
And has been for some time.
Yeah, who's been running
the
show
with
in
the
Seattle.
Angels as well before that.
And Diamondbacks. And Red Sox, too. I mean, he's been around. So, but... You know, so we were
Jerry was a really nice guy, and he overcame cancer. He had a big cancer fight.
He actually, and then he hired the guy who's kind of like the general manager spot, same as was it Justin Hollander, the guy he was an Ohio State guy that he ended up taking out there. But when you look through the rosters and you look at the front offices of Major League Baseball, like a third of these teams, I was looking at managers and just general managers.
Let's hear them.
Like Craig Breslow. Denny Hazen, obviously Chernoff.
These are front office guys.
Russ Atkins, David Stearns, Peter Bendix is from here. He's from Cleveland originally. And he's in Miami.
The Marlins.
So Bill Schmidt, who's out in Colorado, is one. And then if you want to go into the manager's side of this thing, I don't want to miss anybody. Alex Cora, Matt Q in Kansas City on the other side was here. Aaron Boone obviously played here for a little while. Kevin Cash has a tie here. And then you go over and look at the National League, Dave Roberts and Derek Shelton. I mean, was here for a while, was on Eric Wedge's staff. Who else? Bud Black, right? Bud Black is another guy that spent time here. Obviously, Terry Francona, and then Torrey Lovello. So there are, of the 30 managers in Major League Baseball, 10 of them has had some kind of tie here to Cleveland.
You mentioned Alex Cora.
Mm-hmm.
30-second Alex Cora story.
Here we go.
Back in the day, I was asked to go speak with somebody from the Indians out at Beechwood in the schools.
Okay.
And had to be there at like 9 o'clock. And I got there like 15 minutes early. And, you know, it's a chore to get pro athletes to be out at things like this sometimes, right?
Pro athletes don't want to be there. It's a chore. Yeah, the ones that do want to be there, because we don't give them enough credit.
I get there at about 15 minutes early, okay? I walk in where they tell me to go, and I walk in, and there sits Alex Cora, already there. And I said, hey, Alex, you know, how's it going? Good to see you, blah, 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 blah. And I said, you're nice and early. And he said, Jeff, when I commit to do something, I do it, and I mean it, and I show up, because this is important for those kids. This is the chance that they have to meet a Major League Baseball player, and I live up to my obligations. Really happy to be here. And I show up early. And I thought, dang, man, you're going to be in management somewhere. And by golly, he is. You know, if you bought a ticket, plane ticket, ticket to get into the stadium in Kansas City to see Tanner Bibee, he's not going to pitch today. Robert in Brecksville is in Kansas City for the game. Robert, get ready for Ben Lively, buddy.
Oh, get ready for Ben Lively. More like getting ready for history. I'm calling a perfect game tonight.
Yeah.
By Ben Lively?
It doesn't matter who. Throw Tyler Naquin. I don't care.
Okay. They don't do perfect games anymore because the starter doesn't go the whole time.
I just wanted to call in. This is my third consecutive opening day game I've attended, in Cleveland in 2020, or Seattle in 23, Oakland last year. So I just wanted to call in and call you from Kansas City and tell you the tailgating scene here is insane. It's like the muni lot.
Yeah.
Stadium's already open. So
have you stopped by anybody's tailgate there that you don't know and they've been pretty cool with you?
And giving you barbecue?
I haven't walked through it yet. I just sat down and there's a World War II veteran I'm talking with once I get off the phone. But once I'm done with him, I'm going to walk around for a bit.
Outstanding.
And, yeah.
Did you fly or did you drive your...
I flew. I landed about an hour ago, and then when the game's over, I got a 7:30 flight headed home.
That's a tight time frame. Good luck. Robert, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, I'll make it. Yep.
There's Robert in Brecksville. That's tight. He has a 7:30 flight. Game starts at 3:10 local time. That's tight, Andy.
Well, he's got a time change, though, too. Wait, what time did you say it was?
I said 3:10 local time. I think I said 3:30. 3:10 local time, 4:10 our time.
I don't know. The funny part about it's not really funny, but whenever I think about Kansas City, I always think about Kyle Denny and the day. But they don't even do this anymore. Do you remember the when they used to make the rookies dress up?
Yes. Okay. And carry like the little kids' bags and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to remember. Like 04, probably when this has happened. So Kyle Denny's dressed up. And I think they made him, I think it was CeCe bought him the costume, and he had to dress up. I think it was like Supergirl. He was wearing a Supergirl.
Well, sure.
And there were like, he had to wear go-go boots, and there was plastic. Sure. They were plastic. Do you know the story?
Did he sprain his ankle?
You know, he's telling me to stop. I got to hurry. You want me to tell you the story, the rest of it on the other side? I think you know.
Boy, I can't wait.
It's a good story. What do you want?
And it's next on Baskin and Phelps, apparently.